Good afternoon, everyone. Well, thank you, Melvin, for what you shared. I appreciated that. As James was mentioning about a new song in our hearts, I had to think of in my own life. There are times, I think, many of us, if for those that have been involved in music other than what we listen to today, there's maybe at times when they're not thinking and there's an old tune or an old song comes to their mind and it's possible that you start singing that just without thinking. And that's happened to me. But I praise the Lord today that the Lord has given me a new song, and I am more recently than I've been struck by how many times when I'm going through a time of discouragement or a trial where I just, without thinking, there's words come and I just began singing without even realizing it, and the words fit perfectly with what I'm dealing with. And I have found that to be a real blessing. I think one who immerses themselves in holy music, and it can be a really good thing. In the year of between 2016 and 2017, Steve, I guess, asked me to have a testimony on my experience with music. And I know there's many in here that have been probably involved in a much greater way with not only music but other things than I have. But this is just my experience. The summer of between 2016 and 2017, can't remember exactly, I was working in the shop, and I was running a saw, cutting some lumber. I had headphones in, and I was listening to a song. I was listening to music, and there's a song came on. I remember what kind of music it was. It was a pop song, but like kind of a crossover pop song. It was heavy metal pop. It wasn't necessarily rock, but there's the singer, part of the way through the song, began screaming the words, and in like a really low guttural tone, and it sounded very evil. And the instruments that went along with it were very gripping and very intense, very hyped up. And I remember listening to that, working, and then all of a sudden being struck that I never even gave it a thought about the music that I'm listening to. Like it never even crossed. I remember being struck that why am I not condemned or feel guilty for listening to this? And at that point, it scared me a little because I realized then that I was listening to satanic music. And I don't know. I didn't know how I got there, but I asked the question today: how did I get there? And I'm not sure exactly how I got there, but I will share my story with where it began. In 2003, I would have been about 3 years old. My parents began attending Bible studies. And they left the Amish church in 2004, getting excommunicated, causing an abrupt rejection of friends and family. And I remember some of that. At that point, we joined a New Order church, and which quickly dissolved, and the remnants of that, ACCF, was born, Allen County Christian Fellowship. At that point, speeding through, I was about between 6 and 7 years old. I remember of attending this church at those ages and really enjoying it. And I remember coming to church, every Sunday, being with friends. It seemed like there was some tension on the rise that caused some trouble. I would say could be some of the problems were that helped me go astray. There were many details, but there were some different ideas came into the church, like the charity movement that came through. causing much division. And I think brothers' meetings became more of a slugging match or a very divisive. And unfortunately, I was the closest of friends to some of those whose parents had a very negative view of the church. And I think that had a very negative impact on my friends. It's something I wanted to insert here. I didn't tell my dad I was going to share this, but growing up, I don't recall of even one time of my dad speaking negatively or in a slandering way about someone in the church. And obviously he had concerns, but whether that person be radical left or radical liberal or conservative or a radical middle, whatever it may be, I don't remember of him speaking in a slandering way towards that person. And I think that's helpful for a child growing up doesn't hear their parents speak negatively towards the church. And so I think being close friends with some of these people that with some of my friends that had parents in that position that directly affected me. Some of the dividing factors, so a lot of those families ended up leaving, and some of the dividing factors being caused by disagreements over music itself. Some of the dividing factors caused by the influence of wrong music. Though I stayed in the church, my heart left with some of my friends. And I know some of those, this would have been in the 2014-2015 time era. Some of those did not end up in a good place. And I remember of some years later being with some of them, driving down the highway at 90 miles an hour, and there was people vaping and listening to heavy metal music. And those were people that sat here in these church pews. I think, the Lord saved me from that. Anyway, since my heart left with my friends, I rebelled against my parents. I had a disdain for the church. And during this time, I was listening I kind of jumped ahead a little bit there about my life there. But during this time, I was listening to bluegrass gospel music and some CCM, and I would say some crossover a cappella, such as Hallel. Hallel was a big one that we were listening to at the time. And anyway, I asked the question. Well, I guess I would state that it was harmless music, or was it, is the question I would ask. And I also want to ask the question I asked earlier, how did I get there when I was speaking earlier about the song I was listening to? Some of those, there's some gray areas with when you get into bluegrass and some of that music. It may seem like just good old music, but what is it, what does it resemble? Music that bears resemblance of worldly music will quietly steer your heart away from God's truth. Music is influence. It will influence you. It's worship, whether you're worshiping God or drugs and alcohol or women or whatever it may be. It is worship, and it is fellowship, and it will change what's inside. I have just a few writings, or actually from a book that I read. I have some excerpts from a book that I read. I didn't read the whole thing, actually. I just skimmed through it. And I want to read some things out of there right now. I don't have the title right now. I can't remember the title of the book. starting in that. The worldliness of contemporary Christian music is seen in that the contemporary music itself borrows from the world's sensual rhythms. What is worldly music? Worldly music is music that sounds like music used by the world for sinful activities. John defined the world as the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Music that is characterized by these things is worldly music. And that is certainly true for blues, jazz, rock, rap, and reggae, and other forms of modern dance music. This type of music has an intimate association with immorality, drunkenness, drug abuse, gambling, prostitution, and other evils. The chief component of the aforementioned types of music is the heavy backbeat. It is called the anapestic beat. This is the poetic term that describes poetry using three syllables with the emphasis on the third beat. So there's a lot in that, and I don't have time, obviously, to go into that, and I don't know a lot about it, but I know that there is a in music, the beats that are used in sensual rock music are specifically designed to mess with your emotions, and so there is one form of beat that they use is they put the emphasis on the third beat, so it's like da 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 da. Da da da. There's other forms, so it's like 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, and there's different forms that they've used, and a lot of contemporary Christian music has those exact same beats. And I want to read a little bit of a little bit more in this book. They have some writings, some quotes from some rock singers. This backbeat is the chief characteristic of pop music, and we'd like to consider these quotes. This is a rock singer, Chuck Berry. I don't know, I think he's from the 60s. I dig that rock and roll music. It has a backbeat. You can't lose it. This is another quote from Huey Lewis in the News. When they play their rock music, oh, their modern music, they like it with a lot of style, but it's still the same old backbeat rhythm that really drives them wild. There's another quote. And this one is by Elvis Presley, cited by Steve Turner. It's the beat that gets you. If you like it, you feel it. You can't help but move to it. That's what happens to me. I can't help it. So, as you can see, they're putting a lot of emphasis on the beat. It's not even about the words. As Melvin was talking earlier, this is by another, I think, an older rock singer. He says, the throbbing beat of rock provides a vital sexual release for adolescent audiences. There's another quote here by another rock band. He says, rock is visceral, which means it's emotional. It bypasses your intellect. It does disturbing things to your body in spite of yourself. You find your body tingling, moving with the music. There's another quote. Rock music has one appeal only, a barbaric appeal to sexual desire. And so those are by musicians and by singer-songwriters themselves that are quoting these things. They literally proclaim that it's not about the words, it's about the it's about the beat. And so a little more from that book. We agree with Alan Ives, a former rock and roller, when he says, how do you understand what good Christian music is? It ought to sound different from the rock station, the easy listening station, the entertainment music. When we sing gospel songs in the good old-fashioned way, they don't sound like anything that the world sings. That's the way we need to keep it. We can never portray the peace of the Lord with wild, discordant, violent sounds. We can never speak of the love of God with hateful music, the goodness of God with bad music, the majesty of God with low-class music, the power of God with puny music, the wisdom of God with stupid music, the holiness of God with unholy music. We can never speak of godliness with ungodly music, of heavenly things with earthly and sensual and devilish music. So the key principle is that Christian music is to be spiritual or holy. It says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. So moving on from, I'm no longer going to be reading from the book. I have some other things written down here. There are a cappella groups that are heavily listened to today, and well known in our circles, that use the same music as CCM artists, in which whose inspiration comes from the likes of Led Zeppelin and the Beatles, heavy metal satanic rock bands. And I don't know, there's quite a few groups that I myself have listened to in the recent years, and they're good a cappella groups, but they're singing contemporary music, some of the same songs that are being sung across the radio station, but they're being toned back a little bit. They don't have the instruments, obviously, but they have the same beat pattern. So it's something that we should think about. I think there's a lot of question goes into that, and with what kind of music we listen to, I had to think of just as an unconverted person, if an unconverted person can listen to the music and not drift further, well, then it's probably safe music. So music that mimics the world's music, but it has wonderfully good words. I believe the Bible is clear about this all through the Old Testament. God instructs different kings to demolish the high places of worship. And Melvin touched on the idea that someone will give, that they didn't have these beats, they didn't have this music back then, back in the Bible times. They didn't have this music, but the Bible talks about high places of worship. The Lord instructed Moses when he was standing on the east side of the Jordan River before they entered Canaan in Numbers 33, verse 51 and 52. If you want to follow along, to speak to the children of Israel and say unto them, when you are passed over Jordan to the land of Canaan, then shall you drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you and destroy all their pictures and destroy all their molten images, meaning idols, and quiet, pluck down all their high places. So the high places were a elevated place of worship where they would have an altar or an idol, a molten image of a golden calf or something, and it's something that they would worship. But they always did it, I guess from what I understand, they did it in an elevated place, so it might have been on a hill or they would build something. And so there's different kings that were supposed to go through and knock down these high places, and Moses gave these commands. Because God had commanded him to do so. And there's a story of King Asa in 1 Kings chapter 15. I'm going to read some verses 11 through 14. And Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. He took away the Sodomites out of the land and removed their idols, and also Maacah, his mother. Even her he removed from being queen, because she had made an idol in a grove. And Asa destroyed her idol and burnt it. But the high places were not removed. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was perfect, meaning devoted, with the Lord all his days. So those high places, is my understanding, and you'll read that. You can read that multiple places throughout the Old Testament about the kings that did not destroy the high places. So the people, he went through and he destroyed all the idols and all the pagan gods, but they didn't tear down the high places. They actually went to the high places and worshiped the true God in heaven from there. And so they worshiped God in looking like the world around them. The world around them was worshiping pagan idols from these high places. They also worshiped from the high places, but they were worshiping God. But you couldn't tell. There was no difference. So I think a lot of the CCM music is like worshiping from a high place. In the book of Chronicles, when Solomon built the temple, you can read that he appointed 4,000 singers for the temple, and he obviously, they place a very great importance on singing. And this is kind of turning the page here. He took these singers and divided them up into 24 groups, and I think I did the math, that would be 166 people per group, and that was a group for every hour of the day. And so they would sing in the temple 24 hours a day. Accompanied with that, I think, were some instruments as well. But they obviously placed a very high importance on singing in the temple of the Lord. It was a sweet aroma of incense to the Lord, I believe, when they sang. And one thing that I found interesting was that he also appointed 4,000 gatekeepers. And it's actually in the same chapter that you'll read. He appointed 4,000 singers and 4,000 gatekeepers. And those gatekeepers, I was reading up a little bit on that, on their role. Their role was to guard the gates of the temple. They would guard to ensure that defilement would not enter. They would make sure that only authorized people could enter, those who had clean hands and a pure heart. And I had to think of 1,000 years later, when Jesus hung on the cross, he said, "It is finished," and the curtain on the temple was rent, granting access to every man through Jesus. John 10, verse 9, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So Jesus then moves into my surrendered heart, and it becomes my duty, through the power of his discerning spirit, to guard what enters my gate. And I was just really inspired when I was reading through that and had those thoughts that the temple of the Lord is now within my heart, and they place great importance of worship music being sang in the temple 24 hours a day. And so it should be for my life. It's my responsibility to sing continually to the Lord and to have a song in my heart, just as the Levite choir. But not only that, to guard what comes inside. So to finish my testimony, from the day that I was listening to that song at work, there was some time went by, and I ended up, I believe it was probably through prayers from other people, the Lord started doing a work in my heart, and I can't explain the feeling that I had, but there was a day when I just suddenly got sick of the music that I was listening to, and I was still unconverted, and there was a day where I just completely stopped listening to country music, pop music. I just stopped, and I started listening, having a steady diet on just gospel music. And it was maybe some bluegrass music, but I think mostly a cappella. I just started listening to a cappella gospel music just because I was convicted. And there were many other things that ensued in my life that were not right. That listening to that music, it led to an immoral lifestyle and you know, all sorts of different things. And I was a wicked person. And over time, I completely lost desire to listen to country music. And I believe it was the Lord working in my heart. And there was a day when we were at a family gathering, and I went home before the rest of my family, and I got home, and I just had this heavy feeling in my heart, and this would have been 2019, 2020, something like that. And I went to bed, and I texted Dad, said, "Hey, you come upstairs when you get home." And I went to bed. Some time went by. He came up there when they got home, and I at that point I confessed all my sins. And Jesus came into my heart and gave me a new heart, and I am so thankful. And it's been a journey since then, and I have not always been what I should be since then. But by God's grace, I've had strength to overcome and to have become a soldier for Him. And the Lord completely took away my desire for music that is not wholesome. So that's one thing I'm thankful for today. I love music so much. And I love singing music, listening to music. And I just have a disdain for music. Like, there's so much music out there. I'm sorry if I don't want to go over my time too much here. But there's so much music out there that has just unnecessary noise in it. And it's good music, Christian groups, people in our circles, and they have some voice percussion or, and I'm not saying some of this stuff is all wrong, but I just have less and less of a desire to listen to this stuff that has extra jazz, something that's just less than wholesome music that just brings glory and honor to God. So I want to read Psalms 40, verse 3. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. And I have a quote that I'd like to read. And if anyone wants to write this down, they may. And I'd like to just close with this. May our worship reflect the holiness of God, not shadows of the world's noise. So that's all I have. And thank you for listening.